Today's guest is Vice Mayor of Pleasanton, California, Julie Testa. It's a town east of the San Mateo Hayward Bridge. It's north of San Jose. It's southeast of San Francisco. She is trying to retain local control over state housing mandates, and that's what we're going to talk about. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Pleasanton Vice Mayor Julie Testa.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I will say, for some reason, I keep wanting to address you as Vice Chancellor, but because I'm not familiar with Vice Mayor. We don't have a Vice Mayor. Does this mean you're in charge of Vice, or what is a Vice Mayor?
Oh, that's too funny. Well, it's really very common, actually, and it is not. I'm elected to the City Council. I was first elected in 2018, and am in my second term. But the Vice Mayor, our mayor is elected, but the Vice Mayor is an appointment that is pretty much a rotation, and this is my second rotation of Vice Mayor. So it gives me an opportunity to support the mayor, fill in when she's not available. I have some additional duties, but really the five of us, including the mayor on the City Council, have pretty much equal authority in voting, and so we work as a team.
Great. Now, Pleasanton, it just, I've never been there. It sounds like the name of an episode of The Twilight Zone. You know, welcome to Pleasanton. Something awful is going to happen. But
oh, no, everything good is going to happen. You should be thinking that lovely satire, Pleasantville, because we are an idyllic community that we're very proud of.
How many people?
Well, we have just under 77,000 right now. We're almost to 80,000 people now.
And, well, you know, so that's close to what Santa Barbara is, but do you have, you know how Santa Barbara is adjacent to Goleta and adjacent to Carpinteria and Summerlin, Montecito. Do you have towns right next to you like that to kind of make up your community?
We do. We have what we refer to as the Tri-Valley. So we have three cities, really. Then we like to identify with five cities that we work together on a lot of regional work. So, and by the way, Santa Barbara, one of our favorite places. Two of our sons graduated from UC Santa Barbara, and we absolutely love that area. So you're very fortunate, but we are fortunate as well. We have, and you're right, there's a lot of similarities about the charm and small town character while still operating as a big time city. So
interesting.
We have a lot of commonalities with Santa Barbara.
Interesting. And I, you know, just as an aside, before we get into what you're doing with the state mandates, I had asked you if, because we have an issue right now with downtown State Street, and they closed it during COVID and to cars, and now it's a big controversy. And you have something in your downtown, you called it Downtown Weekend something?
Weekends on Main. So we started the same, where it became a way to save our restaurants and maintain through COVID. And so we allowed I did watch State Street and how you guys evolved similarly with the parklets. And we never closed full time. What we did was we had a regular program where on weekends from Friday through Sunday, we would close our downtown. And it allows for just an incredibly vibrant downtown street party. People love it. We love it. I love it. And we have reduced the number of closures to now between 3 to 6 closures per summer. We maximize the beautiful weather. We also have other programs that are going on nearby, our concerts, pre-concerts in the park, and other summer activities. So we really create a lot of vibrancy to our downtown, and we just love it. We think it is a wonderful opportunity, but it's not full time. It's not closed all the time. That would be problematic for, we have downtown residents and businesses, that it would be problematic to close it full time.
Well, I agree 100%, and I hope the city council is listening. If not, we'll send them this interview and see if they can reopen State Street. You know, it's not about, I don't want cars. I don't think cars are going to solve anything. But you know what? I don't know if you have a problem with bicyclists, but they're knocking people over. We had an older guy punch out a young girl. He would just talk about blowing up. Just nuts. But my guest today, Vice Mayor of Pleasanton, California, Julie Testa. So there was a judgment in April of 2024, an L.A. County judge held that there was a state law, you know, allowing homeowners to split their houses into as many as four separate units. And he made a ruling on Redondo Beach, Carson, Torrance, Whittier, and Del Mar, that they're charter cities and they are, you know, exempt from this law. And you saw that, and like the scene when Harry met Sally, you said, "I want one she's having." So you're trying to get Pleasant to become a charter city and get on the bandwagon. It seems like a long road to hoe because some people think the decision might get overturned. But so where are you at?
Well, first I'll say certainly not jumping on a bandwagon. In fact, I opened up the discussion of becoming a charter city back when I was first elected. The Cal Cities, our lobbyist professional group for California cities, was in 2016 had advised, and that was before I was elected, but had advised cities to convert to becoming charter cities because of the advantages for local control. And we were already seeing a clear signal for our state legislature moving towards rather draconian state overreach. So we had a lot of discussion for those early years. The organization CALI, California Alliance of Local Electeds, that I have operated for the last five, almost 6 years, had several discussions with cities across the state on the benefits of converting to a charter city. And that was back in 2018, 2019. So we kind of paused that discussion when the legislature actually moved in a very harsh direction by passing, well, now close to 200 laws, special interest laws, by the way, that say that they put a sentence in every one of those laws. The sentence that says, this law applies to charter cities as well. And so there was some question legally at that time. Well, gosh, can they put one sentence in there and totally take away the California Constitution protection of local control, home rule, it's called. And so while that was being determined in the court, we paused the discussion. So with this ruling, it has signaled an opportunity for cities across the state to come together against the draconian state overreach that has truly threatened our community's local autonomy. There's been, like I said, nearly 200 laws that continue to erode local democracy and have not and will not make housing more affordable for those who need it. California housing affordability is not caused by a market rate inventory shortage, but rather by economic factors. And we feel very strongly the state needs to stop scapegoating the city for this issue that they will not really address. And boy, I can tell you, we have talked to so many legislators who have told us on and off the record, they know these state laws are not working, are not going to work, but that their colleagues will not, they want to create an illusion that they're doing something about the legitimate housing affordability issue. It is not an inventory issue, but it is a real affordability issue that we all care about, wanting our next generation. I've got three kids. They're starting their families. We need to fight for our next generation to have what we had, raising our families. And our state legislators are using this housing crisis, which I do not support that we have a housing crisis. We have a housing affordability crisis. and they are scapegoating cities, and it's causing severe damage.
I hear you. My guest is Julie Testa. She's on the City Council of Pleasanton, California, currently rotating as Vice Mayor of Pleasanton, California. And I will tell you that I remember when I first started in the business in 88 and was going to UCSB Economic Forecasts, and one of the themes was you can't build your way out of this problem. And right now in Santa Barbara, boy, just outside the city of Santa Barbara in the county, they are just have huge numbers of infill projects that, you know, traffic right now and exits and traffic lights and intersections are just choking already. And they're just ready to put in thousands of new units. Do you have, is the city council, I mean, you know, they're kind of, they claim that they have no, their hands are tied. They have to do this. What's going on in Pleasanton?
Well, you know, many of our local electeds hide behind the state legislature. And again, with my networking group, CALI, California Alliance of Local Electeds, we've talked to many legislators who say, hey, yeah, your colleagues are asking us to pass these laws so that they can use it as an excuse to promote housing density. And I believe there is some of that. But my group of, we don't consider them members. We have a contact list, and we never know who's going to show up. And, but no one in our group of nearly 1,000 contacts that we have of local electeds, no one would say that we want laws that we can hide behind. And in fact, again, we have been fighting very hard for the legislature to hear us, to understand that this is not in the best interest of our communities, and that we want the war against our communities to stop. And we want, in fact, to create legislation. I'm a big supporter. Our group aligns with our Neighborhood Voices, which has been working toward a California constitutional amendment, which would neutralize and give back control to local cities, saying that if you like any of these 200 laws, you can still invoke them. But because cities are not one size fit all, they would no longer be mandated on every city.
I'm glad you mentioned our Neighborhood Voices, because I've been in touch. I think I've had a couple of interviews this past spring as well, and so I hear what you're echoing. I do want to go back to what you said to make sure people heard it and what you started. It's called California Alliance of Local Electeds, C-A-L-E, Kale. And
we say Cali, but yes.
Oh, Cali. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. It's called that way.
And I would have called it California Organization of Local Officials, and it could have been COLA. But
I love that. I didn't think of that one, but we tried several others that were already taken, so that was what we ended up with.
Oh, right.
But, yeah.
Right.
It's been 6 years now. But that would have been great. I wish you had been around to give me that suggestion, Mark.
So the do we have anyone from Santa Barbara a member of this?
I know you have some of your advocates from Santa Barbara that have come to Cali over the years. I'm not sure if any of your electeds have come in the past, but we've certainly reached out to some, and we probably have had some filter through. Like I said, we're nearly 1,000, and people will come for a period of time, and then, you know, they're on our contact list. We send them information, and we feel like we have an opportunity to influence a large number of people, but I can't think of any regulars on your city council.
And I will say, I mentioned some development going on either in the county of Santa Barbara, just between the city of Goleta and the city of Santa Barbara, and then also in Goleta, there's some big areas, there's a golf course, But within the city of Santa Barbara itself, you know, it's kind of built out. Someone proposed something up on the Riviera. I was looking for the page. I'll try to find that for my listeners in the next segment. And it's just, it's off of California Street and Grand. It's on off the corner, and it's just a steep, it's like a San Francisco street. It's got to be the steepest street in Santa Barbara. And it just a huge infill project, and everybody, of course, is up in arms. So there's not a lot of room to do infill. I don't know what it's like in Pleasanton.
Oh, no, but Mark, you're missing the threat that exists, and that is none of us, we all believe that we're built out or nearly built out. Our historic downtown, and by the way, I welcome you to, or any of your city council members to come and visit our lovely historic downtown that we are so very proud of. I would love to invite you to come to our Meadowlark drive-through dairy that has just recently been given the award of the 7th best ice cream in the nation. Come and I'll buy you my favorite, which is a chocolate pineapple combo. But we claim to be built out also. The difference is that the state, and I've actually had some say this to us, believe that our city should be Manhattanized. And that means that where you think you're already built out because there are buildings there, they don't see that as built out. If you have 1, 2, 3, even 4-story buildings, you can go up. The density goes up. And that's what they are pushing on all of us. And that is so offensive in my downtown, as I know it would be in yours. Again, I just love Santa Barbara and State Street. But you also have the added threat that is this year's legislative threat, and that is to the Coastal Act. They want that density. They want those million-dollar views. And while they claim that it's about affordable housing, the reality is it's about market rate. And
it's about what?
Special interest funders.
You said they claim it's about affordability, but you think it's about what?
We know that it's really about market rate housing. My group, we've done some amazing research and presentations of many of our legislators. We've had well over 100 legislators now to tally. We've had Attorney General Bonta, State Controller Fiona Ma, so many others. And we are so desperately trying to get them to acknowledge that the direction that the legislature is taking us isn't working, isn't going to work, and again, end the war on our communities.
I like that. My guest, Vice Mayor of Pleasanton, California, Julie Testa, and fighting the state housing mandates. I love what you have, Weekends on Main in downtown Pleasanton, where you close it off and have events. And you did that during COVID every weekend, and now you do it several times over the summer. We could have weekends on State Street. We always had the farmers market every Tuesday, in late afternoon. So I hope they can follow you on that. You mentioned Cali again, C-A-L-E. I'll put a link on it on the podcast, California Alliance of Local Electeds, and people can follow you there. And I support what you're doing. You did kind of lose me, though, when you said you like chocolate pineapple ice cream. I don't know about pineapple.
Mark, don't knock it till you try it. I beg you. Come on. I'll any of you from Santa Barbara, come. Me when you get to the area, and I'll buy you a cone.
I would like to.
Good believer.
We'll give it a try. I'm kind of a purist. I love pineapple. I love chocolate. Kind of like chocolate mint, you know, I just leave chocolate alone. But Vice Mayor Pleasanton, California, Julie Testa, thank you so much for joining me and sharing what you're doing. And let's keep in touch.
Hey, Mark, thank you for having me. And please give my contact to any of your council members. I would love to talk to them.
I actually will do that. We've got all their contacts and emails, and I will do that. I will send them this segment as well. Thank you. Okay. Bye for now. Julie Testa, Vice Mayor of Pleasanton, California. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break. Actually, no, this will be an interminably long break. And we'll come back with, so I got an IRS clarification amendment and some stories about some sales, closings. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.